Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter. Starting in verse 56, we enter into a discussion that Jesus is already having with the disciples. And when I say disciples in this case, it's not just the 12, it's many other disciples also. So listen to what Jesus says and what happens. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus says to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." I want to mention two things to you before I begin the sermon today. One, Jerry's not with us today. If you did not know, today is his last Sunday at the radio station after almost 23 years. And they asked him to do his show live today instead of recorded so that people could call in and talk to him. And as he came and talked to me about it, I said, "Jerry, that's where you need to be. That's exactly where you need to be today." And so I've been praying that not only will Jerry continue to be a blessing to the people that listen today, but that they would be a blessing to him as they shared with him what he has meant to them through the years. So keep Jerry in your prayers as it's a change for him. I can't imagine what that's like after 23 years not going to the radio station each week either to air the program or to record it. Because lately here he's been recording it so it could play during the time that we're here. So please continue to be in prayer for Jerry. The other thing I wanted to mention to you is that next Sunday I will not be here. Scott Thayer, who is a retired minister of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, a good friend of mine, will be here to share with you. Some of you may know Scott from working at either Agape or Open Door. I bet he, maybe you can verify this. Scott tells me that the only thing you guys will let him do at the Open Door is wash dishes. And she's shaking her head yes. That's what Scott tells me. He said, "They let me wash dishes there." But I know Scott works there on Tuesdays and Thursdays helping out to feed those in the community that are not as fortunate. So please be in prayer for Scott as he prepares to come and share with you next week. He's already shared with me what he's going to share with you. And I look forward to being able to listen to it also. So please be in prayer for Scott as he prepares for this next week. And just a little word, I know that often when the pastor goes on vacation, everybody else does too that Sunday. Be here to support Scott. Just a wonderful man. I've enjoyed getting to know him over the past couple of years when he moved here to the community after he retired. This scripture is a difficult scripture. It's difficult because it should make us face something that maybe we're not ready to face. It should make us ask questions about what's here. You see, not only has Jesus just fed a multitude of people, but he's been speaking to them about the bread and the blood, meaning himself and his gift that he gives so that we could have a relationship with God. Without that, it's not possible for us to have a relationship. Without God touching our hearts and drawing us in that relationship, it's not possible to have a relationship with God either. Maybe you thought that, yes, I turned my life around and I came to God and I decided that I was going to have a relationship with God. But what Jesus says in this passage is that only happens when God touches people's hearts. And God draws them in. And God brings them closer. But then Jesus also talks about a deep, personal, continuing relationship which brings life. Jesus talks about, and he teaches about, this deep, personal, continuing relationship that brings life. In verse 56, he says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." This remaining is the idea of being there in deep relationship with God, an abiding, a continuing, an ongoing relationship. Not just a decision that says, I will accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, but a continuing, ongoing, day-by-day relationship. That's why Jesus says, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, there are those outside the church that don't understand the meaning of that. Matter of fact, in the very beginning of the church, in the first and second century, many times Christians were talked about as being cannibalistic because they were gathering together to eat someone's flesh and to drink someone's blood. What Jesus is talking about is this personal, deep, continuing relationship that has to go on. It's not a once walk down the aisle and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and I'm good. That's not it. It's a continuing, ongoing, and even in the midst of this further passage, if you expand it out, the people talk to him about, well, give us the manna as that came from heaven because our fathers lived by that. And Jesus says, that's not enough. It's a continuing, deep, personal, ongoing relationship with me that you need. It's not just that daily manna that falls from heaven. It's coming to know me in a deeper way. It's coming to understand me. It's coming to walk in my footsteps. It's coming to say, Lord, use me. Lead me. Teach me. Send me. It's that ongoing, continuing thing. In my spiritual journey, this relationship of remaining in with Jesus is called discipleship. This relationship of remaining in and with Jesus is called discipleship. Discipleship is not an extra avenue in the Christian life. It's not something extra you do if you have time. Discipleship is something that you do. The word disciple in Greek actually means one who learns, particularly learns from a master that you follow. Discipleship means a continuing, ongoing learning, as I've already said, what? Relationship with a Savior who loves you so much. Discipleship's not something extra you do if you have time. Discipleship is what it means to be a Christian. Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. This is not a cross that's put upon you as a burden. It's a cross that you decide to carry. And I've come to understand that cross that I decide to carry is to be a rich disciple of Jesus Christ. It's being involved in church, yes. But it's also being involved in relationship with other Christians. It's also being involved in relationship with those outside the church so that they can come to be disciples also. It's also spending time in the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to touch your heart, to nudge you, to help you to understand how to grow as a disciple, and it's spending deep time in prayer. Not just a fleeting moment of saying something, but also a time of listening to what God is saying to you. Prayer is a two-way street, not a one-way street. You don't come to God and list all your wants and desires and, God, you need to fix all these things, amen. Now I go about my day and I can take care of the rest. Prayer is an opportunity to be in deep, personal, continuing relationship with your Creator. That's discipleship. That's what it means to be a disciple. The sad part and the hard part about this is there's not just the 12 around Jesus as he's teaching about this deep personal relationship. There are many other people known as disciples at that point. And some disciples say, these spiritual teachings and requirements are too hard. Some say these spiritual teachings and requirements are too hard. Can't do it. It's too much. It's too difficult. I can't imagine sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him teach and to share about how much God loves and how much God cares and to turn and look at Jesus and say, this is too hard. This is too difficult. You've gone too far now. I can't do what you're asking me to do. Lord, it's just too much. And as I talk with people about discipleship, that's what I find people saying. I talk to them about being a continuing, ongoing disciple of Jesus Christ and continuing to learn and continuing to understand and to grow in their faith and their understanding of the Word and prayer and witnessing. And I still remember someone that looked at me and said, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. I've had people, as I've shared with them about discipleship, tell me, that's too hard. That's too difficult. That's too much. It requires too much of me. Wow. Look at what it required of Jesus. And he didn't hold back. You've heard me say this before. I am glad that Jesus was not a tither. He did not give 10% of his life and say, that's enough. That's all God requires. He didn't give 10% of who he was and save the other 90 for himself. He said, I'll give it all so that you can have life. I will give it all so that you can have life. Matter of fact, in this passage, Jesus looks at them and he responds. Jesus responds this way. He says to them who have said, this is too hard, this is too difficult, he says, the teachings go much deeper. What will you do when you learn that? Jesus says, at this stage of the game, if you think what I'm talking to you is about is difficult and is too hard and you can't do it, what are you going to do when you find out it gets harder? What are you going to do when you find out the teachings that God wants you to understand and to live in the midst of this world get more difficult? If you're backing up now. And then probably the very saddest point of this passage. Many of the disciples at this point walk away and never return. John chapter 6, verse 66 is probably one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They said, it's too hard, it's too difficult, Lord, we can't do this. You're requiring too much of us. And he says, what will you do when you find out it gets harder? What will you do when you find out that God wants you to go so much deeper on the spiritual journey than what you can see right now? And their decision was to give up and to walk away. Never again to follow Jesus. This is a true case and a true point in the Scriptures that Jesus is not their Lord. Because if Jesus was their Lord, they wouldn't give up and walk away. I want you to think about that for a minute. How many times has God come to you and said, here's where I want you to be involved. Here's what I want you to do in your spiritual life. Here's how I want you to grow on your spiritual journey. And you have said, Lord, that's too hard. Lord, reading the Bible is too difficult. I don't understand it. Lord, sharing Jesus Christ with someone else is too hard. It's too difficult. I'm not sure how to do it. So I'm not going to. I know some of you may come to me and you may say, I've never made that decision. But did you make it by not following what God's asked you to do? That's also making that decision. When God invites you to be a disciple and you say, no, thank you, or you put the decision off, you've already made a decision that said, no, Lord. I'm not going to let you be my Lord. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to do what you ask me to do. Oh, I'm just postponing the decision till I'm ready. I'm just waiting till a time when things are better. I got a surprise for you if that's how you think. Things are not going to get better. Everything is not going to get in order so that you can be a disciple. Everything is not going to be put in its proper place until you decide to walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And even then, it will seem as though things are out of order a good portion of the time. But why would you not want to be a disciple? God only wants the best for you. Would God ask you to do something that was harmful to you? No. Would God ask you to do something that caused you to go backwards on the spiritual journey? No. God only wants the best for you. Why would you not choose to be a disciple? Or why would you say, Lord, this is too hard. This is too difficult. This is a teaching I don't get and I don't understand, and I'm not going to spend time trying to figure it out, Lord. You're asking too much of me. You're asking me to love my enemy? That's too much. Do you know what they did to me, Lord? That's too much. Guess what? Jesus died for them too. The ones that don't get along with you, the ones that might ridicule you because you're a Christian, Jesus died for them too. And you are commanded to love them. Is that too hard? Yeah. But are you going to follow Jesus or not? I've shared with you on my spiritual journey, there was a point in time that I came to the altar and I made Jesus my Savior. And I said, I want salvation. I want forgiveness. I want eternal life. And it took me almost a decade before I made the decision to make Jesus my Lord. So that now when my Lord comes to me and says, here's what I want you to be involved with. Here's what I want you to learn spiritually. Here's a person I want you to love. Here's someone I want you to share with. Because Jesus is my Lord, I can't say, no, Lord, I won't do that. Because if I could say that, then Jesus is not my Lord. And I would be no different than these disciples who said, Lord, this is too hard. This is too difficult. I turn and walk away, and I will not return again. The 12 were still there around Jesus. Some of the others had already decided too hard, too difficult, and they turned and walked away. And Jesus turned and looked at the 12. Remember, Jesus knows one of them doesn't believe. Jesus turns and looks at the 12 and he says, do you want to leave too? Do you? He gave them a chance. He said, are you going to declare this spiritual life, this journey, this discipleship, this ongoing, continuing, deepening relationship with me? Are you going to call this too hard and too difficult? You've got a chance to turn and walk away too. I want you to hear what Peter says. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter admits when asked, if I want to live, I have no other choice than to follow you. If I want to live, I have no other choice than to follow you. Would Peter say it's too hard? Would Peter say it's too difficult? Did Peter not fail the Lord? Did Peter not say, I don't know that man? Don't confuse me with those disciples. I'm not one of them. I'm just here warming my hands by the fire. And Jesus came to him. Go and read John chapter 20, I think it is. Jesus came to him and said this to him. Peter, do you love my sheep? Yes, Lord, you know that I love them. Peter, do you love my lambs? Yes, Lord, you know. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, why do you keep asking me this? Read the scriptures, that's what Peter did. He got upset when the Lord asked the third time. And all three times, Jesus looked at him and said, feed my sheep, walk in my ways, live as I lived, continue an ongoing, deepening relationship with me. If we want to live, we have no other choice than to follow you. If you've never made that decision, today's the day for you to make that decision. If we want to live, now I'm saying that to those that may have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm also saying that to those who need to make the decision that Jesus is my Lord. So whether this is the first time you've ever been to church, or you've been coming for decades, I have found that's a new decision that needs to be made every day. When I get up in the morning, I've got to make that decision over again. Am I going to allow Jesus Christ to be my Lord? Or am I going to say this day, it's too difficult, it's too hard, forget that, I'm not doing it. And I'll stand in front of you and confess to you there are days I've made that decision. I'm not doing it today. My basic understanding is that God loves me with a deep love that I can't change. Even if I take a moment to say, Lord, I'm not doing that today. I'm not calling that person. I'm not going to that meeting. I'm not sitting down with my Bible today. God still loves me so deeply that I can't get away from that.
And I can't change that. And God says, I know it's a struggle at times. I know it's hard at times. Look at what my son went through so that you could live. Will you not make the decision to follow Jesus today? However that might need to be. And please remember, if you put off this decision, you've already made it. If you put it off, you have already decided the answer is no, Lord. I'm not going to do that. This is not a decision that should wait. Look at what Peter says. If we want to live, we have no other choice than to follow you. I will give you this testimony. I told you that I believe that God wants the very best for my life. Always, at all times, every day, every moment. If you decide that being a disciple is too difficult and too hard, you will miss out on so many blessings. So many. It's as though at that point you're saying, Lord, I got enough blessings right now, don't need no more. I know that's completely grammatically wrong for those of you that are grammar teachers, if anybody in here is. But I will let you know this. In Greek, you can string as many negatives together as you want. And it just reinforces it and makes it even a deeper meaning. I don't know where we got the idea in English that one negative cancels out another negative. Negative plus negative plus negative plus negative. It's still negative, isn't it? They don't cancel each other out. You'll miss out on blessings. You will miss out on blessings if you decide not to be a disciple. Is that what you really want to do? Are you willing to say, Lord, this is too hard. This is too difficult. I only want this many blessings. No more. I told you it was a hard passage. Because it should make us all think. These are people that were known as disciples who followed Jesus and they gave up and walked away. So I want you to spend some time with this question. When God has shown you how to grow spiritually deeper in relationship, have you said too hard and turned away? When God has shown you how to grow spiritually deeper in discipleship, have you said too hard and turned away? Now here's the exciting thing. I told you, you can't mess up God's love for you. You can't ruin it. God says, I'm about redeeming, restoring, renewing, recreating people. So even if you said it's too hard and turned away, God says, come back. We can fix this. And you can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Come back and I will renew you. Come back and I will forgive you. Come back and I will strengthen you, and you will be able to live the life of a disciple. Just come back. just come back. When God has shown you how to grow deeper in discipleship, have you said it's too hard and turned away? Today's the day for you to turn back. Maybe you need to step forward today with a decision, whatever that might be, to accept Jesus Christ for the first time, to join this church, to say, I want to stand together with you as we seek to bring the understanding of making disciples to the rest of this world. Maybe you just need to come forward and sit on the front pew and pray by yourself. As Kathy plays our postlude, I'm going to sit here and pray that you'll take the step and make the decision that God's asking you to take today and not wait for tomorrow.